All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
All right, Sean, kick it off for us. Give us a teaser for today. We're going to be talking
We're going to be talking about superpowers.
Superpowers.
You know, since it is the summer season, and since we don't have blockbuster movies to go see anymore, because the theaters are still basically closed. Sad. There's no Marvel movies out this summer. Like, it's just a sad kind of summer, you know? So I thought we'd talk about superpowers today. Yeah. And I've got four that I want to share with the people. All of these are things you can use in your copy, in emails even. It works basically anything you would write or put on a PowerPoint or anything else. Like, you know, like we've said in the past, this applies to pretty much every media.
Sure.
So four different things you can do, four superpowers that make writing much more effective or presentations much more effective. So we've talked around these, but I don't think we've ever revealed these on the show before. So this will be some good stuff. But before we do that, I got to let you go first today on the beer selection, because you just showed me before the show, like, what you're having. And this is a little outside the box persuasion by the
pint. Outside the box, yes.
But it does have just enough little uniqueness that it kind of fits in the craft brew area.
Yeah.
But not quite. So
it's amazing what has been known as like a cheap beer from the past, how they can kind of rebrand themselves into I guess they've enhanced their perceived value a little, you know, and some of this new stuff they've come out with. But
yeah, they're definitely tapping into the microbrew type, local craft brew type market.
Sure.
You know, big brand. We had, you know, it's been a while, probably a year or so ago. We had the Copper Cellar from Budweiser, where they were kind of doing that. And that was actually a pretty good, pretty decent beer.
Yep.
So you got a similar thing. So what do you got? The old.
So for all of you PBR fans out there, former PBR fans, everybody's kind of graduated up, you know, their palates have graduated to the next level of sophistication, but we can all come down a notch a little with a little PBR hard coffee. The hard coffee.
So I didn't realize it was called hard coffee. So is it basically just cold brew with alcohol, or is it actually like a coffee flavored beer? Like, is there a difference?
No,
like,
it's a cold brew with alcohol. Yeah. There's no, I actually had one of these last night for the first time. So I kind of know a little bit. I already know what I'm going to give it today on our show, but no, you don't even have the slightest taste of beer in this. It's basically, it's like a cold brew, like you said, with 5% alcohol. So
interesting. So I wonder what the alcohol is. Just fermented sugar, I guess, huh?
So I'll even let you, it's like chocolate milk.
Yeah.
With a little alcohol.
So it's got a little cream in it of some kind, obviously. So it's not just like a black cold brew.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm gonna have to pick some of those up. We're heading down to the beach. I mean, you gotta have PBR on the beach, right?
PBR. All the way.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law, so we went camping a couple of weeks ago with the family, and my extended family came along. I've got a sister-in-law that loves, she picks up just regular PBR. Mm-hmm. So I actually had one of those for the first time in forever at the lake.
Yeah.
But when I saw this at Total Wine this week, I decided to pick up, you know, they got the little box 4-packs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I kept seeing these people talking about these. I kept seeing ads for them.
You must be hanging out in a different neighborhood than I am. You're seeing PBR ads everywhere. I'm not seeing
them. It's the coffee crowd though. It's not the beer crowd that's promoting these. It's the coffee people, the coffee
interesting
lovers that are promoting this. So
this is like a hipster thing.
Yeah, it's very kind much.
Yeah, yeah, trying to be cool with the old school.
I mean, a 4-pack. Just to give you an idea, a 4-pack of this is $9. They've altered their whole perceived value.
You could get a case for that, right?
I mean, used to, PBR. Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
That's another example of rebranding, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pivot your smart brand, change it. So,
yeah. Get those profit margins where everybody's spending the money. Yeah.
So unfortunately, I know what you have.
Yeah. So on the last episode with our friend Bob Lye, you had an Oscar Blues, which I had last week at Oscar Blues Brewery. I got, I picked this up and then, so I had this one ready to go for this episode and you had it for the last episode, but it's called Death by Affogato. Mm-hmm. And we looked that up and affogato is like an Italian dessert that has, you know, basically some, I don't know, gelato and some ice cream with the basically a shot of espresso poured over the top of it. So that's kind of what this is. It says a porter brewed with lactose, vanilla, cocoa, and espresso beans. So you raved about this, gave this your highest rating ever on the last show. So now I'm like super excited about
almost
it.
Almost a five. 4.9999. So might as well.
Yeah. It was like pie. Like you just kept going with the nines. And mine last on the last show was really good too. You'll have to, if you see that, grab it. It's actually pretty good.
So here's a lesson because we've been talking about this. I've primed you with a high number.
I know, right?
I'm gonna be curious, but see now you're already thinking about the fact that you've been primed with a number and you're gonna try to.
Do I embrace it or do I? Or like I don't have a choice. Like you totally screwed this for me. Like
that's right.
I tell you.
So I think based on that, you can't get any less than four. I'm assuming, but that I mean that's beautiful. I mean look at that.
Look at the.
Let's do a comparison. Look at that.
So you got chocolate milk, and I've got beer. So
you know how you regret decisions right during the moment, and I almost wish I had grabbed another one of those.
Yeah. Well, you know. That's all right.
Cheers.
Cheers. Actually, I think it. Oh, wait a second. I did hit. There's a little aftertaste there that's got the little vanilla going in the kind of afterwards. Like it's definitely like all coffee right when you drink it. Mm-hmm. Like it's a very coffee, which I like. I like that a lot because a lot of the coffee brews don't have enough coffee in them.
Yeah.
But this tastes like it's. I think I mentioned this before at Honeybee Cafe there in Knoxville, mm-hmm. you know, they do coffee in the mornings or actually have beer all day, but I would go in there at lunch to write things like that. And I would get like, they have beer on tap as well. They have four or five beers on tap.
Right.
And you could get a shot of cold brew, like dumped into your beer, mm-hmm. like a, or a shot of espresso dumped into your,
you could get a shot beer. Of this dumped into your beer.
Right. And that was always good. And that's what this tastes like. It tastes like it's actually a shot of espresso poured in it, which I guess is what it says on the can. So, but a lot of times that's not true when you see those kind of cans.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very much like drinking a cold brew
mm-hmm.
with a little more fizz. And then, like I said, it's got that after. Usually what I taste in these, so this says, porter brewed with vanilla, cocoa, and espresso. Yep. And usually that's the order of the flavor that you get, right? Mm-hmm. It's very vanilla, then a little cocoa, and then a hint of espresso at the end. This is the opposite.
Yeah.
Like this is, you get the espresso shot right at the top, and then you kind of move into the cocoa and the vanilla. So I'm not going to give it a 4.9. I'm actually going the other way, but not far. But you're right. Like I can't go below 4 because I just feel guilty or something. Like, but it's solid. Like yeah. I think I would have probably given it a 4 before, but I don't know. But like, I definitely like it a lot. So mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a 4 though, because it's not one of my favorite.
Okay.
But it's right up there. Okay. So what does the old PBR coffee get? Hard coffee.
Okay. So two different scales. If I'm rating this in terms of like a Starbucks cold coffee or something that mm-hmm. I picked up at Weigel's, then I would give this like a 4, maybe like a 4.
Yeah.
But if I'm rating this as strictly a beverage, an evening beverage that we're having on our show,
that
would be more in line with a brew. Mm-hmm. Sorry, man. I'm going to have to take the two. So I would probably give this like a, maybe a one under, it would be under a 2. So if you average them out, coffee brew, you're probably I'm probably going to get somewhere like maybe, I'm going to say a 2.6. 2.6 altogether.
But if you wanted to start drinking early at the beach,
mm-hmm.
that's
this
your
would be the one. You wake up.
You pour it right in the coffee cup. That's nobody's going to know.
That's right.
Like, yeah. So that's.
Yeah, have your bagel. you know, have your PBR coffee. There you go.
Right. Well, yeah. You just throw the can out of sight and just pour it into a mug, into your Yeti mug or your whatever coffee mug you use of choice.
Yep.
Yeah. So you don't even have to put it in a glass. Just put it right in a mug.
I'm still going to get some PBR loudmouth pants. I guarantee you, dude. Those things are going. I'm going to be wearing those on the golf course.
That'll be fun to. That'll be fun to hear some of those stories for sure. All right, let's roll into these four superpowers.
All right, which so, you know I'm really I'm kind of, it's unfortunate because I know, I remember that Bob's a real, he's I don't know if you knew this, but he's like a Marvel aficionado or a big Marvel fan. I don't know about aficionado, but he loves Marvel movies.
Yeah.
So I meant to ask him before our last episode, what's his favorite, all-time favorite? But anyway.
We'll have to get him back on. Yep. Or you can ask him for the next show.
Yep.
He'll have another book out in about 3 days. So.
Yeah, 1001. Okay. All right, so let's start. Four superpowers. What do we got?
Yeah, so the first one is, you know, when I first say it, so some of these are going to, when I first say it, you're going to be like, really, that's it? But they're highly effective and they're used a lot, and they're used a lot for a reason. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we've specifically called these ideas out. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a little background on them as we go through them. So the number one, the superpower number one, and I use this all the time. I actually kind of think this way now, but it's using the power of three.
Okay.
So for instance, I'm going to read a whole passage. This was from, I think this was from Clayton Makepeace, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. I've just got one sheet floating around, so I'm not sure where it came out of.
Sure.
But it looks like his copy. So this was for a financial service. And you can, so listen for the rhythm of it, and you'll see how the threes kind of create a rhythm mm-hmm. that makes the copy read faster. I begged, I pleaded, I cajoled. I did everything I could think of to show you how joining my X trading service could give you the opportunity to dramatically leverage the profits you can reap from ETFs. I even told you that your first trade or two would probably hand you many times the money your membership cost you. That was 56 days ago. And just as we said, my X trading service members have given one opportunity after another to make money hand over fist. Our options on the China 25 index delivered a closed out gain of 238% in 56 days. Our options on the Brazil ETF closed out 100% in 56 days. And overall, our average gain on every open and close is a whopping 126%. Hmm. So there's two lists of three items in one, two, three, four paragraphs.
Sure.
So you started with a little triplet. I begged, I pleaded, I cajoled.
Yep.
And then you ended that section with a triplet of bullets where it's like our options, you know, and then our overall average. Mm-hmm. So two lists of three items in the first half a page of copy.
Sure.
And a lot of lists of threes, you know, later in that same promotion. And, you know, I've read that the reason threes work is because the brain is, you know, good at pattern recognition. Mm-hmm. So when they hear, I begged, I pleaded, I cajoled, they all end in ED.
Yeah.
You know, so they all have a little bit of a rhyme to them.
Sure.
And it causes your brain to perk up because all of a sudden there's a pattern happening.
Right.
So then you tune in. Same when you start, you know, phrases at the front. And this works, by the way, this works really well on Facebook ads too. You can put little sections of three. You don't want to overdo it. Mm-hmm. But if you had, you know, three or four sets of three throughout a long copy Facebook ad, works like wonders. And, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, three short testimonials that kind of sound similar, or sometimes it's just three words that sound similar. Sometimes it's, you know, three alliterated words or, mm-hmm. or whatever. It doesn't really matter what it is. It just kind of starts to create a rhythm.
Yeah. And it's, so I was reading, one of the books I was reading recently, and I'm trying to get him, I'm hoping he can come on our show, but the Phil Jones, the guy that wrote, he authored the book Exactly What to Say.
Okay.
Great book, by the way. That one in particular, it's one of these like really small books, but it's like really short chapters that you can go through pretty quickly. But in one chapter, he talks about, and all of these are exactly how to frame things with your clients, with customers, prospects, when you're talking to them. But in one section, he talks about the power of three, and like when you're referencing, sometimes you're referencing, you know, the client, when you're giving them options, you tell them, you know, from our standpoint, it looks like you have three options. And, you know, a lot of times they always gravitate to the middle option. So you may have a starter, an intermediate, and then a premium. And a lot of times they'll, you know, go to the middle. Some of them go to the premium.
Yeah, I mean,
most of them don't want to go to the be the cheapskate.
Right. You have the one or two though that
sure,
you know, they're the frugal guy, so they right. want to do that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do that when I sold insurance, long-term mm-hmm. care, things like that. Pretty much everything I've ever sold, I always tried to come up with three options. Mm-hmm. You see that a lot with SAS companies, where they'll have like their good, better, best plans.
Right.
Of course, you see it on, you know, any fast food restaurant, right? They've got their small, medium, and large, and best value, good value, best value type stuff. So all those things are the power of three. There's something about threes.
Well, when I write emails or sale, you know, if I send out a sales email or a sales letter or just an email to a client or a prospect, if I'm using bullets, you know, the rule of thumb is you never use less than three. You know,
yeah,
you
want to, weird.
Yeah, two is strange. It just feels weird. So yeah, even
like you don't have enough.
Yeah, because you don't feel right. So it's like you're trying, even if you don't have a third bullet, and maybe you've got two strong ones, you're like, you're always trying to.
That's when you just put and more for the third bullet. And that it actually works.
It does. It really does. And much more.
You have the nice visually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even a landscaper told me one time, is like, when you do landscaping in a yard, you never use four bushes, you use three or five, because there's something about mm-hmm. the odd number that the eye likes too. So sure. part of this is like, what do you hear?
Yeah.
But a big part of it is visually what's going on with the reader's eye.
Yep.
So moving on to superpower number two, it's kind of the same thing. So we're not going to go in depth, but the power of seven is kind of the same way. And you could probably say five as well.
Yeah.
But fives and three, five and seven for sure are like, you know, seven you see more in like subtitles and mm-hmm. headlines and things like that.
Yeah.
More than body copy or even in bullets. Like to me, seven is about the most bullets you'd want to have without a break.
Yeah.
And putting in some body copy or another slide or depending on the format you're going with. I was actually critiquing some copy last week and they had too many testimonials in a row. And what happens is after three or five, you just kind of be like, oh, I guess these are all going to be the same.
Sure.
And you scroll past it.
Right.
Whereas if you break it up with a piece of body copy.
Yeah.
Or in between some image. Yep. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I guess these are different than those.
Sure.
So I'll start reading these again.
Yeah.
So, but the power of five, seven, so three, five, and seven are your kind of your magic numbers.
Yeah.
You know, which is funny because this is four superpowers. So broke the rule there. You got to break the rules at some point.
That's right. It's different. It obviously it went against the grain. So it captures the attention. But yeah, so, I always like seven. If you see reports or headlines out there, five ways, seven ways, you usually don't have something that's an even number. I've never seen like eight or six.
Yeah.
It's rare that you see an even number in headlines. So,
yeah, I mean, even if you go to like, you know, even if you look at blog articles, you know, that are compilations, they're 25 mm-hmm. or 53 or 101 or something like that.
Right.
They're rarely even because mm-hmm. I think we're just, again, I think just in nature, things are odd numbered. They're not perfectly even.
Right.
So I think we're drawn to that.
Yep.
So superpower number three is the power of sequencing. So this one's pretty cool. What you do is you start by starting with some common ground with your reader, your prospect, some type of mutually agreed upon fact, sure. right? And then, so like so one of the simplest examples, and this is kind of NLP type stuff too, is you're online reading this, you know, reading this letter right now. Can't really argue that. I'm on reading it. Sounds obvious, but it's easy to agree with, right? Mm. So That's a super obvious one. And then you add a surprising new fact that here, you know, that they may not know, whatever that might be. And then you actually make it one layer stronger by adding some type of proof to the new fact.
Okay.
So it's an agreed upon fact, a new fact, and then proof of that new fact. Mm. And that sequence, it's kind of like a chain of logic that they're not going to shut down immediately. Whereas right. if you started with a new fact, they could just shut down.
Right.
Right. Cause they think you're just coming at them. Mm-hmm. But if you start with a mutually agreed upon fact, like, and right now this would be good if you were, you know, trying to, you know, argue one side or the other of any of the 5 million things that people disagree about today. Like if you start with a mutually agreed upon, and this is actually a debate thing too.
Sure.
I think there's some videos of like Ben Shapiro mm-hmm. when he talks about how to debate. One of the first things you do is you agree with your opponent.
Right. Absolutely.
You find something that you can agree with mm-hmm. that they said, and then you bring up a new fact and then you bring proof for it.
Right.
So that's the way you sequence things when you want, especially when you need to introduce something new that might be like off-putting yeah. at first.
Yeah. I heard Scott Adams. I was listening to him. You know, I talk about him a lot because he's got a phenomenal podcast, by the way, but he was just talking about that in reference to one of the, I don't even know the guy's name, but he was a politician and one of the news anchors was trying to get him to agree on, you know, BLM, Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And the question was, are you in favor of Black Lives Matter? And his statement was yes. And then he followed it up with, I do agree. And I agree that all lives matter. So he followed it up instead of saying no, instead of mm-hmm. disagreeing and saying, no, I believe all lives matter.
Yeah.
That would have been a bad way to respond because you're mm-hmm. automatically, you've not agreed. And so you're setting up a confrontation between yourself and the person that's asking you the question.
Right, because so, now they're going to immediately go on the defense and try to start, you know, oh, well, he didn't like that piece. Right. Now I've got to one-up him, right?
Right.
Whereas if you agree, and you need to find something that you can sincerely mm-hmm. agree with.
Yeah.
So you have to be listening.
Yep.
Or if you're preparing a presentation, you kind of have to be thinking ahead.
Yep.
Like, what are they definitely going to agree with?
Right.
And that's the key. Like, it's got to be something they're willing to agree with. Mm-hmm. You don't have to talk them into agreeing with it. Then you can introduce the new fact.
Sure.
And exactly. they'll be much, much more open. So that's what we would call the power of sequencing. So then the last one is the power of intensification. And we do this all the time in financial copy. Mm-hmm. But really any good salesperson does this regardless of what their niche is. We did this. I used to sell used cars.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking with Bob Bly last time. Like, this was before they were certified pre-owned. Like, I actually sold used cars. It was actually in Dallas. It was a division of AutoNation when they kind of first came on. Mm-hmm. It was almost like their junker lot. Like, so these were like cars under $10,000 that actually were not certified pre-owned.
Sure.
But we had a guy come in and like teach us how to sell cars. And one of the things he gave us would be considered like an intensification idea. So mm-hmm. if somebody walked on the lot and we were just, you know, talking with them and, you know, just do your rapport building, then we would say, so Jonathan, tell me, what are you looking to, you know, spend per month on a car?
Sure.
And, you know, they'd say like 300, and I'd be like, okay, up to, and they'd be like 325. It's like,
right.
but not more than,
yeah,
350. Right. So all of a sudden I've got an extra, you know, whatever percent, 20-30% to work mm-hmm. with.
Sure.
Just by rapid fire. And like, people don't even realize it's happening. Mm-hmm. And the reason it works is because, you know, they're coming in sandbagging you anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
You know, so you're not really tricking them. You're actually just getting back to even.
Sure.
Cause I know some people were like, well, that's manipulating people. Well, not really. Cause it's kind of getting back to where the the truth actually is.
Yeah.
But that quick thing, mm-hmm. And we practice that a lot where that would, you know, that's, you just, because if you rapid fire it, they only have time to, sure. to think about it.
Right.
And so that's one form of intensification, like you're ramping up. Another way is, and like I said, we did this in financial copy, and this is a financial example. If you'd bought investment X on June 15th and closed your position on July 12th, you could have grabbed a 330% gain in just 27 days. So that's a statement. The way you would intensify it is say enough to turn $2,000 investment into $8,666. Mm. So it was that extra, like doing the yeah. math for them.
Right.
That intensifies
sure.
the thing. So yeah. like if you wanted to talk about composites, you could say, you know, this will cut, you know, 20% off of your cost, you know, for producing this thing. And over the course of 1,000 units per month, that's X amount of dollars.
Sure.
And you could do it again to take the power of three, like do it, you know, one more time. Mm-hmm. That means per year it's worth this.
Right.
Like you just do the math. So you're intensifying and using the power of three at the same time.
Sure.
So we did it all the time in copy, in financial copy where you have to like do the math for them. A lot of people will just throw out the numbers.
Right.
And they'll expect the person to be able to do the math. But if the copy's good, they're going to keep reading the copy. Mm-hmm. They're not going to stop and do the math.
Yeah.
Like they'll kind of estimate it in their head. But if you that do it for right. them, yeah, sounds about right. Yeah. 33%, but they don't translate into dollars, and people don't pay their bills with percentages. They pay their bills with dollars. So you'd have to convert it, and then it also intensifies it.
Yeah. And the important thing to that is, again, what we've learned in the past when we've talked about on past podcasts where, you know, it's that system one brain where people yep. are a lot of times they're skimming copy. Yep. So if you can simplify it and make it where, you know, again, like you said, you're doing a lot of the math for them and leading them to that, then it's almost like their brain, you know, just from a system one standpoint, they're taking the path of least resistance. Like sounds right to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that. Yeah. He's figured it out for me. I don't have to do anything.
Right.
Cause we're naturally, I mean, people are just naturally lazy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the way our brain is designed.
Right.
I mean, it's designed to look for ease.
Yeah.
Keep us away from danger and look for mm-hmm. ease. I mean, that's, you know, cause that's how you survive.
Sure.
Or used to be how you survive. Not as much anymore. So the other thing is you could do like enough to turn 2000 into $8,666. You know, you could put another intensifier on that and be like, that's enough to cover the average mortgage in America three times over. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh,
so you could, yeah. right. So now it's like, oh, that,
yeah.
yeah. Even if their mortgage isn't like $2,500 or whatever, still, it makes the point.
Yeah, it takes the average.
Now they're going to apply that $8,000 to their sure. mortgage or their car yeah. payment or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever example you use, you know, and they'll be like, yeah, that's, you know, it's not my mortgage, but that's close. That's,
yeah, somebody out there is paying that. So
yeah, and they'll very quickly be able to say, well, my mortgage is $4,000, so that would pay twice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So even if they're, you know, if it's, you know, if their mortgage is $1,500, then they're like, oh, actually sure. I could pay like five or six times.
Sure.
You know, so putting so it's one thing to translate into dollars, and then it's another step of intensification to like bring it down to earth
yeah.
in some type of tangible way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's enough to take you and your entire family to Hawaii for 2 weeks mm-hmm. or, you know, depending on what the number is.
Yeah.
And that's where you have to be creative as a writer, as a presenter, you know, salesperson of any kind, and kind of do a little extra research and be, and just slow down
yeah.
and be like, okay, what could $8,000 actually do for somebody's, the average person, my target market's life? Like mm-hmm. how does that show up? Mm-hmm. You know, so, and then give that example.
Right.
So that's just another way to intensify.
Yeah. And on a smaller scale, you see a lot of marketers out there doing something along this realm where they say, you know, a membership, you know, mm-hmm. they break it down. What you spend at Starbucks a day is basically what you're, you know, basically paying for this membership. So you're breaking it down and kind of showing them the numbers there. What I was like, oh, okay, that's tangible. If I can get a latte at Starbucks every day, mm-hmm. If I could just eliminate that, I could pay for this, right?
Yeah. And I would say to that, like, that's like the opposite. So if you think about it, if you did, so a lot of people use that clothes and it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's getting a little worn, but yeah, you know, it's good. But think of if you did that earlier in the copy where you compared it to, like, because most everything we sell can be tied back to, not everything, but a sure. lot of things we sell can be tied back to some type of monetary value.
Yeah.
Whether it's a, you know, a course or whatever. So if you could say, you know, that's like being able to, you know, buy 1,000 Starbucks coffees a day, mm-hmm. right? You know, because it's $4,000 or something like that.
Right.
Then you kind of get that effect of like tying back into something you said earlier.
Sure.
So now in the close, you can say, you know, we said earlier, you could, this is like being able to buy 1,000 cups of coffee from Starbucks, mm-hmm. but it'll only cost you one.
Right.
So now there's an even bigger gap. It's not just like a minimization. Like now there's, oh, wow. Yeah. Now there's a contrast between what I'm going to get and what I'm paying for it.
Right.
It's even bigger than just reducing it to the cost of a cup of coffee.
Sure.
So you're yeah. kind of intensifying by contrast, I guess.
Yeah.
So
that's good. That's powerful.
All right. Well, I know you said you had something to do today. So,
yep. We'll doing a little, short. Doing a little dinner. The wife's at the beach this weekend. She left yesterday. So me and my kids are batching it. So we've got plans this evening for a little cookout. And,
you going fun. Somewhere? Or are you just doing it there?
We're going over to a friend's house who's cooking out, and, their family invited us over. So we're going over there, do a little grilling and, a few more beverages, not the PBRs, leaving those here.
Yeah. You can take all your fours and below over to the
friend's house. I'll take the good stuff.
Yeah. I've got, you know, we're planning on being in Hawaii this time next year. So we're going to have to figure out our episode times. It'll be like 8 in the morning.
Oh man. Day. Yeah. That'll be crazy.
Or 10 in the morning.
What's the time difference there?
It's like 6 hours.
Six. Okay.
So yeah. So be in the morning. Yep. But yeah, that's one thing I got to get rid of all my bourbon by then. Like I got to drink it all by then. So we may have to shift some of our episodes to back to, we've done that a few times.
We can do that.
For a few more of those out. So
we can do that. Yep.
All right. Well, you have a good time. Eat some good meat.
Yeah. Thanks to all of our listeners. Again, you can catch us over at persuasionbythepint.com. Catch us on all of your podcast platforms.
Everywhere fine podcasts are sold.
Exactly. So thanks again. We'll see you next time. It's been fun.
All right. See you.